5:40 and sing Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort.
Turn to page 531 and sing This Is the Day.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it.
From Brother Anderson, Sarah is 1 year old this Tuesday. You're all invited to her birthday on Saturday at 3 p.m. Please contact Anna or Anderson for directions. That's all. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you today, Lord, and thank you for everything you gave us, Lord. Help us all, Lord, and help. Thank you for helping us this week, Lord, and help Brother Wade as he preaches, Lord. You know all the ones who are in need, Lord, and traveling and sick, Lord, because we're all your children, Lord, and you watch over your children, Lord, and you say in the Bible, forgive us all for our sins, Lord, and help us all today and every day of our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
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 You may be seated.
Sister Rachel's Sunday School class, please come up for your special at this time as we sing Every Promise in the Book is Mine on page 524.
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting.
Brother Boyd and Sister Monica's class, please come up for your special.
Glad day when I was born again. Glad day when I was born again. So glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. It's a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day.
Praise the Lord, saints. I'm going to try to sing a song. The song originally was called Jackie's Song, and it was by Brother Roel Soriano from the Philippines. When he wrote it for Brother Jackie Benton in Tennessee. Since Brother Jackie did a lot of mission work and continues to do so in the Philippines. But it has come, throughout the years, it's come to be known as Just to Be a Blessing. And it's a very missionary song. Last year when I was in the Philippines, this was the song that I always sung while I was out and about. And so I hope you enjoy it. Many of you have already heard it, so we're going to try to attempt to sing it. You pray for the young people, okay? Amen.
I travel far to tell the good news of God's love and show the world His power's yet the same. Though oftentimes most people do not seem to care, there's always someone who'd listen and be blessed. Just to be a blessing, I'll go on a journey, climb up the highest mountain and cross the deep blue sea. I'll leave home and family, I'll go where the Spirit leads me. I'm giving my life away just to be a blessing. I never cared for preaching high theology. To share God's love is good enough for me. Though sinners find their way to perfect liberty, I give God glory, for He's just using me. Just to be a blessing, I'll go on a journey, the highest mountain, and cross the deep blue sea. I'll leave home and family, leads me. I'm giving my life away just to be a blessing.
One more time.
Just to be a blessing, I go on a journey. I'm up the high.
I'll go where the Spirit leads me. I'm giving my life away just to be.
Can we sing it one more time? Let's all y'all sing with us.
Just to be a blessing, I'll go on a journey. Climb up the highest mountain and cross the deep blue sea. I'll leave home and family. I'll go where the Spirit leads me. I'm giving my life away just to be a blessing.
I'm giving my life away.
Yes, I'm giving my life away just to be a blessing.
Hallelujah.
The Ballards have a special at this time. Please come up for a special.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Certainly always good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. It's the greatest place we can be. I'd rather be here than be at the White House.
Yes.
I'd rather be here than be at the Black House. Whatever house. But you know, it's always good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. So we certainly appreciate you all. And it's This message is a big family.
Amen.
And we're here because we have one thing in common. That's the message. Amen. And it's the greatest thing that ever crossed our path. And we thank God for it. Amen. Certainly thank the Lord for Brother Ray. We rode up with him and we try to visit him much as we can. And we thank the Lord for that. And certainly appreciate it. We weren't going to be here this evening, but everybody was so nice to us and asked us to stay. And not that we're anything, but we certainly want to be somewhere where believers are. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to sing. What are we going to sing? Okay, my wife got a little special there. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know he's watching me. Amen.
Why should my heart feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come my way? And why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven at home when Jesus is my portion?
Amen.
My constant friend is he. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches. I know he watches me. Oh, I sing because I'm so happy.
Because I'm happy.
I sing
because
I am free.
Because I'm free.
Oh, his eyes. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear and rest in on his goodness. He leadeth, but one step I may see, for
his eyes
is on the sparrow, and I know
he watches.
Come up for the offering, and while he let's all pray. Lord God, thank you for this day, and thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. I just ask and pray that you forgive us of all of our sins and help us through our lives, because we need you every day, Lord. We need your guidance and your help. Lord, I pray that you bless Brother Wade or Brother Dale, who is preaching this afternoon. And thank you again for everything you've done. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Let's sing Just a Little Talk with Jesus, page 237.
Have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. We will hear our famous cry, and he'll answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer returning, then you know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he'll answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer will turn in, and you know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It made my heart in love, and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he'll answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer will turn in, you know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Let's change the order of the service. As Brother Wade comes up.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.
Open your eyes and let's look into the Word and we'll see him there. Good to be back in the house of the Lord.
I thought y'all should have broke into a revival when they were singing that song. Lord have mercy. Got a new bass player, Richard? You're done for. Strings are still on it, so he's okay. Good to have Sister Willie and her family with us. I never can remember her name, but I know who her daddy is. Brother Willie Ross. So that's why Sister Willie, if you don't mind handing them out, please. But it's good to have them with us today. Boy, just that.
That's wonderful.
It's like Brother Bob Black and I were standing in the back. Brother Bob said, white people can't do that. White people just can't do that. And it brings me back to that. But you know what Brother Branham did that? He commented on the black people, how they knew how they had rhythm and they were just happy-go-lucky, family, and they, you know, everything. And that's the way you're supposed to be. You know, when we get out of our position is when we get all out of sorts with God. But we stay in our position, and I believe they honor the gift that God's given them. Amen? And use it very well. So good to see some really good-looking young men with them there as their family. So it's a testament to the parents. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be back. Good to have been here today. Today, this afternoon, we're going to get into the summation of the statue of a perfect man. And if I'm a little bit long, just forgive me. But we're going to try to get finished today so that you can have your pastor back. And he's fixing to dig into some deep stuff. So and it's not deep. It's simple. The more the Word opens to you, the more simple it should be. It should be just, if an illiterate person can understand the Word of God, you ought to be able to understand the Word of God. It's just making yourself available for it. All right? Make yourself available. So let's turn back to 2 Peter 1, and we're going to continue on there with the Holy Spirit right up to the capstone, which is love or charity. And like I said, remember Brother Dale, he's doing his sister's funeral today. And just be, Lord bless the family. Thank you for the offering this morning. That was wonderful. I appreciate it. It'll be put to good use. You know that very well. And remember the fellowship meeting. Look downstairs. Make sure you read the announcements on the screen downstairs. Fellowship meeting. Brother Matthew Bray will be with us and speaking for us there. I think it's on the 20-something of March. Just a week I get back from the Philippines. So just pray for me. And if you got a moment, call June while I'm gone and just, you know, give her a few words of encouragement if she's at home. We always joke. Somebody told her one time, said, this is when I was going hunting a lot. You know, I'd be gone for a week or so. And then they said, don't you get tired of him going out and hunting and all this stuff? And she said, do not ruin my vacation. She wasn't talking about my either. She's talking about my. Don't ruin my vacation. But you got to remember one thing. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. That's right. So we'll see how 3 weeks worth of absence will be on all of us. But it's the Lord's work. And we do. I remember Brother Branham, you know, he'd be gone for months at a time. That was hard. But you know what? He had a strong wife there to back him up. So, and he knew that. I believe she was as great as he was. She just couldn't preach. Because she kept him from the people. She kept his clothes washed. She did all the things for him. God calls a man, he absolutely calls the woman or the wife to go with him. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, and let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, today we've heard the wonderful singing. We've heard testimony. We've heard, Lord, great things from our youth. And we appreciate that, Father. Well, now it's time that we kind of set everything aside and listen to the Word of God just for a little while, Lord. We pray that we have come now, and I believe we've had an atmosphere set for us by the singing and by the worship. And now, Lord, may you come and just flow freely. May you have the preeminence in this service, Lord. Just not being a bystander, but Father, be the active participant in the service. Father, you take over and your will be done. Bless the ones that are sick, the ones that are not with us. Be with the ones, Lord, that are sin sick, Father. Save their soul, Father, and raise them up in you, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would just be with Brother Dale as he's doing his sister's funeral there, Lord, that you would just bless him, be with him, strengthen him, keep the family safe, Lord, just ever be with him. Father, forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes that we make towards you, Lord, that you would forgive us, Father. You've already done it, but we must ask, and you're a just Father to forgive us. Bless us and be with us. Take care of us in the furtherment of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith, what we're talking about this morning, with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power, there's nothing divine except God, so it's got to be talking about the power of God. Divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. So you're going to go into something and partake. All right? It's good to have a restaurant with some good food, right? You can read the reviews. You can listen to the neighbors. You can listen to the people it's been. But until you go and partake, you don't know what it's about. All right? It's just hearsay. Same thing with the divine nature of God. It's just hearsay unless you partake of that divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, in other words, besides all this divine nature of God, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. I like that word, diligence. Diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Lord, add his blessing to the reading of the word, and you may be seated. Then we were talking about this morning, there is where that Peter's telling us what to do. And then now in Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 13, Paul is telling us how to get it. All right, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So everybody's got that, I think, down pretty pat. Now let's go to the first quote that we're going to read. I told you we was going to read it every time. Brother Branham said in the stature of a perfect man, says, notice, you must be born again. And when you're born again, you can't be born again without having faith. That's right. So you see on my chart here, I got the very foundation. Look, it's real wide. Faith is the foundation. So it's going to carry you all the way up. It's wonderful to have a foundation, but you got to build a building on that foundation. All right? Or it just sits there as a foundation. And that's not true with God, because remember, God had a plan and a purpose. His plan was to see a group of people that would come to this full stature. All right? So somebody's going to do it. I told them last weekend, I'm just dumb enough to believe it's me. Amen.
Better hurry.
Yeah. For some. All right, roll it on up. You either have faith or doubt. You're either possessed one, you're possessed of one that dominates your life. You see that? Dominates. All right? In other words, has the preeminence in your life. You either have one that's, you have the preeminence of God or preeminence of the devil. You can't be in between. You got one or the other. All right, there's no gray area. Just depends on how much faith you have, how high you can rise. Everybody agree with that? Say amen. All right, so what we're going to do today is we've come up through faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance. If you want to put that chart up that we were doing, I'm not changing the prophet, right? I'm not changing what the prophet taught, right? All right, look. No, I don't believe I am either. But watch. We're going to substitute this. Thank you. Turn that fire off.
Yes, sir.
Not too off. Well, you need to sit closer to Sister Gail. Bless her heart. She gets cold.
Amen.
She gets cold. Look right here. Look. Down here at the bottom, it's faith, right? That's believing, but that's your earnest. That's your earnest. That's your down payment to the full inheritance. All right? So there's your earnest is down here. Now, then we talked about virtue being strong faith, right? All right? Discerning faith is the next one. Knowledge. Temperance is control faith. Then enduring faith, patience. And then respecting faith. What? Respecting the gifts of God and godliness. And then common faith is what? Everything common. Everything the same. God, listen, there's one thing about God. He's consistent.
Right.
You and I, forget it. But God is consistent. So what He said, that's the way it's going to be. All right? Then we got into this morning, and we'll look at it as, to me, that's the binding. This is the Holy Spirit here is the binding or the welding that welds all this together.
Right.
All right? So everybody all right with that? Is that okay? All right? And then we see agape love, which is the love of God, not the love of man. Has nothing to do, listen, it has nothing to do with your emotions or your feelings.
Right.
That all right? Because
yeah.
Remember, your emotions and feelings are contrary to God to start with.
Right.
What this is doing is this is what? It's transforming you by the mind of God coming into you. It's transforming you from what? From just a human to a superhuman.
Right.
All right? From natural to supernatural. All right? So we got the binding agape love. Now look, see, that's your full inheritance. You see that? And then we have the headstone and the capstone. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is finish a little bit here with the Holy Spirit and then get into what we really been wanting to get into. Now, we've been talking before, and I want you to realize that it, all those scriptures that we read, it talks about the Son of God. All right, now who is the Son of God? The Son of God is the Creator, the one that created the world, not the one 2,000 years ago. But it's the same person. But when you say Son of God, that's the Creator. That's why they could look at Jesus and say, "You created all things." That was the Son of God inside that man, creating all things, right? So that was the Creator. Excuse me. But the Son of God revelation down through seven church ages only puts you in the body, and then it also puts you in service, but it never brought the full inheritance. Amen? Because remember, the earnest or the down payment, when you buy a house, the earnest is very important. It's really the most important. It's the first thing you do, right? But you still have to make payments. You still have to make payments until you actually get that title deed in your hand. Because it's not yours until you do. Right? It's somebody else's until you do. But now remember, I'm not going to get into that, but remember, there's one closer to you than God. You have a closer kinsman. Sorry. It's the devil. Remember Boaz and Ruth? Boaz had to go to the nearer kinsman. Because remember, Satan has one strike, and it's this thing right here. Amen? But what we're doing with this is an inside work going outward. Amen? This is all inside. It's a secret. To me, this is the greatest secret that God ever had on the face of the earth outside of Jesus Christ. Is that He can live in me and you, in Satan's Eden, and have all these things working in our life, and us absolutely be sons and daughters of God, and the world don't even know we're here. The world don't even know we're here. And you know what? 90% of them don't care. But we're the only thing that's holding this thing together. You think all the president and all the this and all the that, baloney. It's all gone, people. You and I are the reason California is not in the ground. You and I are the reason that the bombs hadn't already fell on the United States. So don't think you're not so important. We're the key to this whole thing. But it's a secret. Like, you think they're going to put in the paper that when you come to knowledge that, oh, Sister Johnny come to knowledge, we're going to put it in the wherever you live. In Covington or wherever you live down there, they're going to put it in the paper. Sister Johnny made it to knowledge. No, they don't. The world don't care. The world don't care. What we've got to do is, though, is we've got to come to the full stature of Christ and then let Him do the work. Because we're not going to go to the White House and do anything. We're not going to go to this place and that place. The greatest place to be standing today is, like the brother says, right here. Amen? Right here is the greatest place to be, because right here is where you can make a difference. You say, well, I'll go make a difference. Yeah, you can make a difference out there, but the greatest difference is you. All right, the greatest difference is you. God wants to what? He wants to bring this alive in a group of people. Not, listen, dead people can't help us. Live their life, done and finished. We don't believe in the communion of saints. We're not Catholic. No, it says to the sanctified, the saints. This is what he's talking to, live people. So you, this is to a live group of people, because they're depending on us to get them out of the ground.
Amen.
They without us cannot be made what? Perfect. Because they came up through these church ages, they were perfect in their soul. You can't have an imperfect soul and have God in your soul, okay? All right. But what happens is like we said this morning, there was that doors in doors. They had a place to where, number one, I don't believe it was taught. You've got to hear the Word. You got to hear the Word and then let it be quickened in your life. You got to hear it. So you got to make yourself available for it. See, because Luther was born again under justification. He could smoke a pipe and drink beer and he's okay. But now that justification, you can still die and go to hell in this age. Do you understand that? Right? Sure, justification is part of your journey. Amen? We believe that in this church. You go through three stages of justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost to get the new birth. Amen? We don't do away with that. Brother Brown never did away with it, and we're not either. But God has called us to come higher, that if we do smoke a pipe and we do drink a beer, we're lost. You are lost. But God's made provision to come up higher. What happened was God moved through Luther, and the Lutherans stopped. They put a wall of petition and said, you got to do this and do that. God moved on through Wesley, same thing, then Pentecost, and then right on up to you and I. And there's nothing else left but us going home. Amen. Amen. There's not another church age. There's not another messenger. There's not another message. We got to get this message right first.
Amen.
All right, so we come up, we come up to the Holy Spirit, and we read there in Ephesians. We won't read that one again, Brother Bob, if you want to skip over that one, we will go. Remember we read Ephesians 4. We stopped right here. Go to the next one. Where it says, Holy Spirit, where we stopped at for this morning. He's back there. He's fell off his chair. Let's read quote 4. How about going to quote 4? Can you do that? Everybody got one of these? Okay, that's what we're going to be talking about. This is a full stature. See, we read that this morning. All right, because remember, the body is joined fitly together. Now let's read what Brother Brown said right here. Now what does it do? Then you're waiting for the headstone, which is love. All right, for God is love. And He controls, and He's the strength of every one of these things. That's right, yes sir. Right in here, you see I got between all these works in here. And here these little waves come. What is that? The Holy Ghost coming down through Christ, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is above all this, welding this together, building a what? A perfect church. So we can be perfect. Amen? For the capstone to cap it off. And like we were talking about this morning, this doesn't come down here. We what? We grow up in God. Because you see here, the funny statement always is, you know, I'm the head and the neck turns me. No, the neck can't do anything without the head telling it first. You can't turn your head without your brain telling your head to turn. All right, we make little silly things about your wife being the neck and you being the head, and she turns your head, but that's kind of, that's just silliness. But look, how would God be, though, in this drawing, how would God be, Brother Dick, without that? The head and the body can't unite. Amen? So there's got to be a neck there that everything, you know, everything that happens to your body goes through your neck. Everything that happens goes right through your neck. There's a pipe that goes down. And that's called your neck. Right? So that's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. God has to come down through that to make all these things work. Amen? Everybody got that? Say amen. So that's the binding. That's where everything has to go. Because you can't think this and it go around and come to your foot. No, it's got to come down through here, through the neck part, which is what? The binding or the welding part. Without your neck connected to your body, remember? You can have your spine severed, your brain will work. But if your spine severed up here, your body's not going to work. Because it has to go down through the neck. All right, so the neck of this whole thing is the Holy Spirit. And it's Christ doing what? Showing what Brother Branham said. Now, we said today, this morning, that it was a pull. And what it is, it's pulling up to fill in this part right here.
Amen.
All right? Because if you bring this down here, it won't fit.
Right.
Huh? You got that?
Right.
Got to be the Holy Spirit filling this in.
Amen.
To make that building complete. And Brother Branham, if we get to it, Brother Branham said there's a flange. There's a little piece that fits right over here to shed the water. Because you know what? I'll promise you, if there's a hole in your roof and it leaks, guess what's going to happen? That's where the water's going to come through, right? Everybody's had a leaky roof sometime or another, or a leaky something, and wherever there's a crack, wherever there's a gap, that's where the water's going to come through, all right? So that's the same thing in God. If we don't have that binding or that welding together, as the prophet of God said there in that fourth part here, the glory, the power of God coming down through this, what? Welding it together. See, he's talking about Pentecost, he's talking about the Lutherans, he's talking about the Wesleyans. But there's a genuine part of it. Now, see, that doesn't make them wrong. Martin Luther was not wrong. Martin Luther was right. The doctrine Martin Luther preached was correct. God said, that's fine, but there's more. But the Lutheran said, that's fine, and we don't need any more. The Lutheran, the doctrine, the Lutheran denomination. They stood where they were and they died. God moved on. All right? Same thing with you and I. We can sit in a message church and just die. We can just die. If you think this is just something you need to come to church just because if you don't, somebody will talk about you. Number one, you are true. Number two, this is where I get filled up, right here. This is where I get filled up, is in right here. All right? Now let's go to paragraph 341. Roll it up and we'll... 341. These fellows wasn't required. Luther was not required to go into 2 Peter and preach this.
Right.
Even though he may have read it, he may have even had a sermon on it, but there was no way he could attain to that. Because
right.
He was under the just shall live by faith.
Right.
But you and I... The seals have been opened. The book has been opened.
Right.
All right, so we should be able to understand these things. The Holy Ghost, Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost, this is what we read when we finished this morning, comes upon you. So this is an anointing. This is a filling.
Right.
Everybody okay with that?
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
This is a filling. God fills you with His soul.
Right.
Woo! His soul. Fills you with His soul. Then you grow up through here, and then what does He do? He anoints that whole thing.
Right. Amen?
Amen? It's an anointing. Same Holy Ghost. Remember, there's different anointings. Same Holy Ghost. But this is a special anointing. This anointing brings us from the Son of God ministry. Because remember, the Son of Man is the one that was adopted. The Son of God don't need adoption. He's the Creator. He's the one that created all things. The Son of God created all things. Brother Dale's going through it, so it's wonderful how they fit together. But the Son of Man is the one that took a body change. The Son of Man is the one that was adopted. So we must get into the... That's why Brother Brown had to bring the Son of Man ministry. He had to bring us out of the Son of God ministry to bring us into the Son of Man ministry so we could understand that we're to become the Word made flesh. The Holy Ghost, Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost, comes upon you in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not that it was false. But it's just going to ring more true than it ever has before. Listen, because there's nobody on the face of this earth had it like Jesus had it. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, right? Now you and I are not the fullness, but all together we are the fullness. We weren't on the earth when Jesus was here. Most of us wasn't here when Brother Branham was here. We've all been born after or come in after. So we weren't here. He was preaching to a group of people that wasn't even born. You're going to understand that one day. When Brother Branham gets up on the seals and he said, "This is not for you. It's gone from you." He's telling the people, look, you're under the Son of God dispensation. Live a good Christian life. Do what you're supposed to do. And if he could say it, he would. He said, because you're going to die and go by the grave. Because you're not getting this. But there's a group of people that's coming. Hallelujah. There's a group of people that's not coming. It's here. That's going to take this thing and sweep it right on up to the coming of the Lord. Because we got to have adopted sons and daughters of God before we get a body change. That's why this is important, people. You can stay right here and you can die all you want to. I may fall dead in 15 seconds, but somebody's going to reach that right there, and death will not have a victory over them. The Holy Ghost, Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost, comes upon you in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you got all these virtues sealed in you. Then God lives in a tabernacle called the building, the living tabernacle. Now, He's not talking about a building. He's talking about a building. Right, not made by hands. Listen, if you're born again, you wasn't made by hands. That's why I said about that seed. Adam and Eve got together and produced a son made by hands. Made by two people. Listen, you and I are born by the Word of God. No sex involved. It's all right here. The way we should have come. We're going to talk about it, Lord, if we get to it. We're going to talk about it. Because remember, Adam, before the fall, didn't need redemption. Now, in the mind of God, he knew everything's going to happen. But remember, when Adam was in a certain place, they were perfect. Right? He was the God of the earth. But when it fell, right? For us to go back to where we're living in human bodies without death, we got to come back to here. And they really enjoyed that at Brother Joe Green's, because he'd never seen it like that before. Remember, redemption is not replacement. Alright? So you don't drop this and pick up a pencil. But now remember, here's what man's done. Man said, okay, there is redemption. It's fell. Now I'm going to pick it up and put my idea with it. Now is that where it started? Where it started was here. That's why it took a prophet to tie up the loose ends. Man's had it over here. Man's called redemption, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, baptism, three gods and all these different things. But you got to bring it back to where it was. Restore it back to the position. Remember Brother Branham said one time, he said, remember he talked about the vision? About the hat? The hat wasn't just that the hat was there or in the room. It had to be in the right place before anything could happen. He said, I saw the hat laying there. He said, but I couldn't do anything about it. He said, I had to wait till they moved that hat for the vision. Vision. God's got a vision. He's got a vision of me and you. All right, stop preaching. All right. But look, that's what we got to come back to right there. Alright, we've got to come back to here. God lives in a tabernacle called the building. The living tabernacle, living God's dwelling place. And when a man possesses these kind of things, then the Holy Ghost comes upon him. No matter you might speak with tongues, impersonate any gift that God has got. Remember, Brother Branham said the third pull will not be impersonated. Because remember, I don't have the quote, but I read it the other day. Brother Branham said the Branham Tabernacle, I think it's a blasphemous name. Brother Branham said the reason Branham Tabernacle is not growing, he said, you've got two kinds of virtue. One was just normal virtue, and the other was Holy Ghost virtue. See? You can have a part of these virtues and not be born again. But you can't come to right here and have those virtues just be natural born virtues. No. No matter, you might speak with tongues, you might impersonate any gift that God has got. You might do that. But until these virtues here go into you, you're still off the real, true foundation of faith. But when these virtues grow in and you added that to that, then you are a living monument. You are a living, moving idol. Amen? A living, moving idol. You're not one that just stands there. That's a statue. We've become statues. Not stature. We've become statues. Even maybe in our Christian walk, maybe we need to kind of shake ourselves a little bit. Because God doesn't want statues. The Catholic Church has statues. No, we got a living God. We got a God that's got skin on it. We got a God that's got skin on it. You know the reason? I was telling them there in North Carolina, the reason I know that I'm going to live in human flesh, I'm going to be in a glorified body, live in human flesh, and God Himself is going to live in human flesh, and He's going to be right there with us, is because Adam talked with God before the fall. He was in a human body that Brother Branham would have been made eternal, right? Had there not been a fall. So that's what we got to go back. Listen, redemption is not replacement. You got to go back to there. All right? So we got to. What are we missing in this whole thing? We're missing authority. We're missing authority. All of us. We're all missing authority. God has given us authority. We just hadn't reached out and got it yet. We just hadn't reached out and got it yet. That's right. Well, you got to be bold. You got to know that this Holy Spirit has welded that thing together to when God when Satan does give you that punch, your building's not going to crack. Your building's not going to crack when he gives you that punch, and you got to what? Have what? F-A-I-T-H. You got to have faith. In you? No, in God. All right, now look, number five. Let's read a few of these and then we'll get... Look, let's just read the blue. You're a living instrumentality of God. God walking on what? 2 feet in you.
Amen.
Glory, the footsteps of the righteous is ordered of God. God walking in you. For ye are written epistles, read of all men.
Amen.
And if the life that's in Christ be in you, you'll bear the life that Christ bore.
Amen.
All right, let's go to number six. Blasphemous names. Brother Branham said, now these things here absolutely must be in the Christian before the Holy Ghost ever seals them. Before this comes down on top and makes a what? Complete unit. All right? Number seven. I picked some of these out so we could hurry through them. I don't want to hurry through them, but we're going to have to. The Holy Spirit always speaks of what? The Word. So you're supposed to be all the way up here by that time. See, bring us into the full stature of sons and daughters of God. Now, we're going to read it in a little while. You're a son here. You're an heir. But you know what? You got to possess that. You know what? If you have a reading of a will, you got to be there. And you know what you got to do? You got to accept it. You got to accept that. All right? Let's go to number eight. Blasphemous names. He's talking about mental faith. And this is where he was talking about the Brown Tabernacle. Because most of your faith is mental faith. But it's got to drop down to be what? Become a spiritual revelation. All right, your mental faith right here comes the Holy Spirit coming down into your mental faith, making it a spiritual faith. Then the spiritual faith only recognizes the Word now. And number two, three, then you'll have spiritual. You'll be have the Holy Spirit and will seal all these things into you as that Holy Spirit covers this. From your faith up to the Holy Spirit. Now what's he talking about? From your faith up to the Holy Spirit. That's what he's talking about, right? Because see, when he's preached blasphemous names, I'm pretty sure the chart was still up there. Because he was referring to it, okay? Alright, from your faith up to the Holy Spirit seals you in with Christ, then you become what? Alright, something that God can use, right? Alright, let's read paragraph 152. And then they are vindicated in what? Placed. That's what we're fixing to talk about. You can be vindicated, but you're going to have to be placed. Alright? When that time takes place, they become vindicated sons and daughters of God. Amen. That's what we want to be. We just don't want to be sons and daughters of God. We want to be vindicated sons and daughters of God. Amen. And you know what? Like I said before, it doesn't make your head swell. If it makes you puffed up, then you know who's puffing you up. It's not God. Amen. God gives you a revelation. Truly gives you a revelation. First thing you say is, why me, Lord? Why me? Why did you pick me to do this? Well, you know what? He's got a work for you to do. Accept it. Accept it. That's what I said before. If God shows you that you got this kind of Holy Ghost patience, thank God that He had enough confidence in you to give it to you. Because He knew you would use it right. He's not like me and you that you know, I'll give Sister Milka something and I'll think, well, maybe she'll use it, maybe she won't. No, God knows what she's going to do with it before He even gives it to her. All right, so the same thing with you and I. As we go up this statue of a perfect man, what a great confirmation that can be of you being a son and daughter of God is that what? He tries you. Isn't that right? He tries you. Remember, patience. Tribulation worketh patience. So you're going to go through some tribulation. I'll promise you that. Because tribulation worketh patience. All right, so everybody okay? The Holy Spirit is an anointing on all this. It seals you in. Now, sure, you're in the body of Christ here, but right here, God is fixing to do something to you that He has done to hardly any people in the world. Because we're fixing to talk about something that the Lord Jesus and William Branham went through that we know, that's vindicated. Now, we know of others, but we know of those two that's documented, vindicated, that they were taken up on a place and God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye Him. Alright? See, because what happens right down here, God says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. He's pleased to dwell in you at that point. But He doesn't say, hear ye Him. Because you know what? Honestly, He knows what you're going to say. And it may not be right. That's what it is. We're all a bunch of legalists when we start. Right? We still in the do's and don'ts. Amen? So now let's go to charity, love, or the headstone. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Now what we're doing is, if we know then that only maybe a tenth of a percent has ever reached this, that we know one thing's for sure. Once you reach that, you're going to have the same. You got to have the same anointing that Jesus had and Brother Branham had. You got to have the same revelation. Boy, yeah, you got to have the same revelation. Brother Harris, I never forgot that. Years ago, he preached on the sword in the hand. You got to have a sword in the hand experience for your own self. Why? Because the Word's going to have to fit you. It does me no good that it fit William Branham. Other than I can what? Draw virtue off of what he preached. But still, I got to have it just like he had it. There's only one thing between me and Brother Branham. He had a gift. He was a prophet. I'm not a prophet. But I can receive what? From a prophet. The Bible even says if you'll honor a prophet, you'll get a what? Prophet's reward. Now you and I are going to get a prophet's reward because he was adopted. So you and I, if you enter into the same place and not say, I got it because he got it. I got it because the pastor got it. I got it because my wife got it. No. You got to have a sword in the hand experience for your own self. God's going to have to take you out somewhere, put you up on a pedestal. Him put you up on a pedestal and say, that's my son. If you're going to get anything from him, you're going to have to listen to him. You got quiet. We're living way below our privileges. Brother Branham called us little messiahs, so we're going to read in just a minute how that God has purposed that all that come to pass. So charity, love, the headstone. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with tongue of men and angels and have not what? Charity. That charity is love. That's agape love. That is not filial love. Alright? I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. He's going through the statue of perfect man. Charity vaunteth not itself. In other words, put yourself up here. It's not puffed up. So there's your characteristic right there. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, 13, which is a continuation. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And above all these things, put on charity, which is what? The bond of perfectness. That's the complete stature of a perfect man. Why do you think Enoch, when he built the pyramids, he didn't put a capstone on it? There had to have somebody that was adopted come to preach adoption. Because you can't be adopted if you're a novice. And you can't listen to a novice preach about adoption. Now, I'm not saying anything. I told you where I was at, but I got to get through brotherly kindness first. But I can read it to you out of the Bible. And what the prophet said. Colossians 3, verse 14. Did I miss one? Colossians 3, 14. Go back. Down that way. Go that way. The other way. The other way. The other way. Whoop. I might not have put it on there. That's my fault. Colossians 3:14 says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond. I did read that. Which is the bond. Well, they put. That's not 1 Corinthians 14 right there. That's Colossians. See, it's not their fault really, but they take it off of what I give them and they have to reposition it, so they just left. That's not 1 Corinthians 3:14. That's not a new doctrine. I've not changed the word. That's Colossians 3:14 says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. All right, now let's go to the Greek. The word agape, agape, either one. Look, love, beloved of persons, to welcome, to entertain, to be what? Fond of. To love dearly. God loves us, but He wants us to be sons and daughters. He wants to love us dearly. Of things to be well pleased, to be contented at, or with a thing. In other words, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him. I'm pleased with what he's saying, but I want you to hear what he got to say. Alright? So let's go to the next one. That's number 25 and 26 in the Greek lexicon. Love, charity, dear, charitable, feast of charity, brotherly love, brings it right back down. Affection, goodwill, love, benevolence. But remember, this has nothing to do with your filial love. Okay? Agape love is so much, Brother Brown said, so far from east is to the west. With you, the love you have for people here versus agape love. Alright? So we've got to learn that. Alright, now let's go to number 9. Statue of perfect man. Listen, you get it? These people who died in here, church ages. Got it? These people who died in here are depending and waiting on us. So this church has got to come to perfection in order to bring the resurrection.
Amen.
And they're under, souls under the altar, waiting for this church to come to its perfection, that when Christ does come, and this church, you see, is coming smaller in the minority. In other words, it's getting sharper.
Right.
All right, there's a honing part that we're probably not get to right now. It's a whole lot sharper than that, but just like to write that cross there, see, the original drawing has Brother Branham put a cross right here. If you ever see the original drawing, there's a cross right here. That's what he's referring to when he says the cross. I just wanted to make that clear. Because, see, I'd just like to write that cross there, see. It's the coming up to a needle point. Until the church in the minority. So listen, not a public show.
Come on.
No way. It's not going to be a public show. If you see anything raise up and it gets popular, I want somebody to slap me if I become popular. And if I keep like what I'm doing, I ain't going to be popular. I like it that way. Until the church in the minority has got to get into a place until it's the same kind of ministry that this left. What? The headstone. Because when this headstone comes back, see, it's got a little pocket here like where it's going to sit right in there on the regular pyramid. It just isn't a cap that sits across the top.
Right.
All right? There's a flange that fits to keep it from wiggling. And to keep what? It's a little flange and it's got to sit on there because it sheds what? The water. And when it comes, this church has got to be honed. All these, rest the stones in the pyramid, are laying so perfect till you can't run a razor between them. Weighing tons laying in there. How they got them up, they don't know, but they were built. And up here, when the pyramid cap does come, the pyramid itself, the body of Christ will have to be honed. Not only just some creed or doctrine or something other we come through. It'll have to be so perfectly like Christ till when He comes, He and that ministry will fit right smack together, see? Then will come the rapture and the going home.
Right.
Amen? So we can't be one word off. That's why we are so adamant in this church about even one word of false doctrine.
Right.
Amen? Somebody's got to have the perfect word to bring a perfect bride to perfection.
Right.
You cannot bring a perfect bride to perfection without perfect word.
Right.
Amen? That's just common sense.
Because
you know what? One word got us from here to here.
Right.
One word. Not.
Right.
One word. So you think one word off is going to get us back to here? Nope. Got to be a perfect word. Not a perfect people, a perfect word that makes the people perfect.
Amen.
Amen? If you look at it that way, not a perfect people that's got a perfect word. No, a perfect word that the people yield themselves to, and then they become perfect by that. But remember, I want to be perfect by Christ.
Right.
Not by myself.
Right?
I want Christ to be the one to do it. But then will come the rapture, the going home. So what's the rapture waiting on? Me and you to bring the same ministry that the head has. Because remember, in our picture a long time ago, they rejected this. They rejected the Son of Man ministry when they put Him on a cross. They said, "You're not God. You're a man making yourself God." No, He was God, made Himself a man. And when we come back to that to see that now God has made Himself a man.
Hallelujah.
We'll go home.
Amen.
Amen?
I believe it.
We got to believe it more. I hate going to funerals. I despise them. Oh, you know, well, that's wonderful. If you're a Christian, that's okay. But that's not our call.
That's right.
Our call is to be here on the earth and to call the ones that have went on out of the grave. Because remember, it wasn't dead people talking to dead people when Jesus rose.
Right. Come on.
Right. It was live people talking to live people.
Right.
Why seek ye the living among the dead?
Come on.
Galatians 3. We're not going to get finished. Unless you'll bear with me about another 45 minutes. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. I love this because this takes you from the new birth to adoption. And remember, we're going to go through Galatians 3. And for those of you that are new, Paul's writing a letter. Now, man put these in.
Right.
Verses and chapters.
Right.
But Paul, when he wrote a letter to the Galatians, he wrote a letter.
Right.
Right? So watch this continuation of a letter. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Remember, works. We're going to be judged by our works if we're not born again. Alright? That thing is sensitive. But before faith came, we were kept under... I used to like this thing, but I don't think I like it anymore. Shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. So it's got to be a revelation. Before the law... Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. Now, we talked about this once before, but we got to go through it again. What was the schoolmaster? The schoolmaster, when you were in school, was not the teacher. Remember the old school marm, or what we call a principal? The principal actually, now sometimes they did in the natural, but most of the time the principal was the principal. He didn't teach class. He entrusted that to the school teachers. Alright? But, we were under a schoolmaster. The law was our schoolmaster to what? To bring us to Christ, because it had to tell us we were wrong. The law told us we were wrong, so it brought us to Christ that we might be what? Justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. Alright, the law's been done away with. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then what? Are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? Now man broke it right there and put chapter 4 in. Forget about that. Keep going. Don't put that in there. Don't even put 1, 2. Because look, now I say. He's continuing his thought. Now I say. Does everybody understand that? Say amen. If you don't, I'll go over it again. You understand that? Galatians, come all the way down 3, all the way down. Now what? We have become in Christ, not under a schoolmaster anymore, but we've come to Christ by faith. What? Right here. Alright? But now watch. We're not finished. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from the servant, though he be Lord of all.
Right.
Got it?
Right.
He's got full inheritance, but he can't drive the car yet.
Right.
But is under what? Tutors and governors. There's your teachers.
Right.
Until what? The time appointed of the Father.
Right.
God takes you out.
Amen.
And does the rite of adoption. God is the one that determines whether your name is good as a checkbook. Because remember, power without character. You're going to write a bounce check. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. We were babbling babies, right? But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Amen.
All right, be adopted. The only way you can be adopted, listen, God does not adopt the devil's kids.
Right.
And you know, the reason that Benny and Brenda didn't go to the funeral today is because what? They're not Dales. I mean, sure, they would do it out of respect, but it's not family. When we call a family reunion, Donnie and Susan don't show up. Right? Right. I mean, they could if they wanted to, but get the point. They're not Dales. So they don't, you know, if something was to happen to Brother Dale, it'd be me and Terrence and Anna. None of you, you left out. Sorry. Because why? You're not a part of the family. Same way with God. He's not going to bestow gifts upon the devil's kids. He's not going to adopt the devil's kids. He's only going to adopt His family that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Daddy, Daddy.
Hallelujah.
That's right. Abba Father's daddy, daddy.
Right.
Amen. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son.
Right.
And what? Then an heir of God through Christ. Amen. So that's what's bringing us up into adoption. Sure, God's pleased to dwell in you. Absolutely pleased to dwell in you the day you get born again. But He doesn't want you to stop there. So now let's go to Romans 8:14. Now I want you to, Brother Dale did this several years ago, and I try to do it a lot out away from here because I believe it's important. Because most of the time when you say adoption, everybody goes, adoption. They either say one, they either say, well, we're already adopted because we got it when we believe. No, that's not true. Because remember, you're going to receive the spirit of adoption, not adoption. I don't have the quote with me, but I read it this past Sunday. Brother Branham said that's two different things. Your born again experience is one thing and your adoption is another. But you've got to be born again in order to be in line for adoption. You've got to become an heir, in other words, to get the part of the heir that the heir gets. And we're going to read that. So there's two different things. A lot of people say, well, we're in the adoption age because Brother Branham was here and he... Well, no. That was for him at that point.
Amen.
You got to see it for you.
Amen.
You got to see it for you.
Hallelujah.
Okay? Everybody all right?
Amen.
Because we're going to go through this and we're going to go through the three stages of adoption. And I'll try to get it done in 30 minutes if that's all right. Is that okay? Most of you are not asleep yet, but before you go to the land of Nod, let me tell you this. Turn to Romans 8, or you can read it here at verse 14. Now this is going to take us through the three stages of adoption. There's three stages. There's birth, there's authority, and there's understanding. Three stages of adoption. Listen, we're out of the Son of God dispensation. We're in the Son of Man dispensation. All right? You remember me preaching one time, justification, sanctification, baptism in the Holy Ghost, justification, sanctification, baptism in the Holy Ghost, justification, sanctification, baptism in the Holy Ghost. You never do get away from those three things. Right? Brother Brown said there's a mysterious part of justification. Sure, the justification where you were born, where you came in and had your sins forgiven, sure, but you still had that old nature. Right? But when you come to this justification here, He said, it's as if you never done it. And He said, then the real you never did it.
Right.
If we don't come to that, people, we're still going to lean back to where that devil says, yeah, you did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did it. No, devil, you tricked me into doing it.
That's exactly right.
You're a tricker. You're a tripper-upper.
Right.
Hey, if you're born again, how many times have I preached on Genesis 1:26?
Right.
That's your new birth.
Right.
That part of you never fail.
Right.
That part of you never had a bad day.
Right.
That part of you never said a bad word.
Right.
That part of you never had a sex relationship.
Right.
You only had a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
The Spirit Word of God. Right. Amen? That's why if we don't, we got to understand what we already got inside of us, what the Bible's already said about us, and what the prophet's already said about us. Because we got to believe what our prophet said. But watch, let's take it strictly from Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
For ye have not received the spirit of what? Bondage again to fear. Now what happened when Adam, we're going to talk about Adam in a minute, but remember, Adam and God and Eve talked together face to face all the time.
Right.
There was no fear.
Right.
None. Brother Brown said God would come down and cool the day and say, Adam, how was your day? Just a conversation like me and you, Brother Richard, would have. But what's the first thing Adam said when they fell? He said, Adam, where art thou? He said, I was afraid. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage. That Genesis 1:26, man, don't fear. But you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Daddy, Daddy.
Right.
The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Right.
children of God. Watch this. Children cry and children. Children cry. And if children, then heirs. Now look, people, this is not a kid. This is not a child. But as we grow up from a child to what? To authority. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. Whatever He gets, we get. Or the Bible's wrong. Now, did Jesus Christ take a body change? Christ never had to. But Jesus Christ did. Alright? Is that okay? Because
right.
He was the Son of Man.
That's right.
The Son of Man is the only one to take a body change.
Right.
Christ don't need a body change.
Right.
But for your and my sake, He came down here and took on a form of flesh so that we can have a body change.
Right.
All right? Everybody okay with that? Say amen.
Amen.
If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. All right? That true? You got your car keys with you? Drive them home. Go get in the car and drive them home when we're finished with the service. Can you do that? Now, hold on. Yeah, there you go. But now look, he's a human. Amen? He has intelligence. He's got eyes. He can see. He's got ears. He's a human. Now, why can't you drive a car? She's a human. She's got eyes on both sides. Well, two of them, one of them on each side of her nose. So, most of the time, mothers have them right here in the middle and right here in the back. But why can't he... Here, you better give me that. Why can't he do that? Now look, when you're born again, God doesn't give you these. But yet the car's there. The car's there for you to drive. But you got to get a driver's license. In other words, what's the difference between Benjamin and his mom? She's mature. And the state of Georgia or whatever state you're in says that when you get 16 years old, which I don't agree with, you're mature enough to drive a car. God says the same thing. Now remember, He's the son of her. He's in the family. Why doesn't He get the car keys? He's a child.
Right.
Child. Child. Children. Child. Look at all the words. And if children, then heirs. Now, He's an heir to that car.
Right.
But you don't give Him the keys until what? He has reached a maturity level.
Right.
We all have to come to a place. Do you remember? I remember when I first became born again, God would just answer all my prayers. I don't know if He did you the same way, but I think when we come to that baby form of being born again, we do cry, Daddy, 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 Daddy. Now look, Josh is not here today, but I don't want him to call me up every 5 minutes crying. I want him to grow up. Now there was a time and a point. There was an appointed time. He was under tutors and governors. Raised up in the family to what? Not being taught to cry about everything. Amen? To be a man about things. Same way with God. The way I can see adoption is exactly the way you grow and you raise your children. Now, I know we do a bad job of that, but you still have to see that those children are so cute and they depend on you as parents. I don't want them to be 30 years old and dependent on me. Hallelujah. Parents says amen. It says leave your father and mother and cleave to your wife. It doesn't say leave your wife and cleave to your parents. Got that? That was Sister Whitley's son I was talking to. I tell you what, I had a lot of respect for your dad. You knew that. I mean, Brother Willie Ross stood right here many times and preached the Word of God a long time ago. And they would just fill this church up full when it was like this. And just the power of God was with the man. And they could sing like you wouldn't believe. Well, you saw that. You guys in the whole, even the Even the in-laws can sing. Yeah, you can. Even the in-laws can sing. I have godly jealousy of that. You heard why I said. And if children, then heirs. They're heirs. They're mine. And joint heirs with Christ, so they get everything I get. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. So the first part of your adoption is definitely you got to be born again and grow up in God. You cannot be adopted without these working in your life and this sealing you in. So forget about it without these. Brother Branham said, without these, we're a stumbling block to the unbeliever. That's what he said. I believe it's in blasphemous names. He said, we become a stumbling block when they see us not acting like a full-fledged Christian should act. But remember, though, if we're born again, we're still heirs. Because remember, kids act up. But as we grow in grace and knowledge, you begin to shed that and gain some maturity. Now let's continue reading. So that's your first stage. That's the birth. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall what? Be revealed in Jesus. Shall be revealed in us. So there's a revelation.
Amen.
As we come down, there's a revelation. For the earnest expectation of the creature. Now, let's go back. Let's go back because we got to talk about authority. I'm going to be a little bit long today. But just going to have to bear with it. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? This was authority. Right? This, Adam and Eve in the garden, this was authority. I love what Brother Luis was talking about the other day. Because he hit the nail on the head. Adam had full authority of the earth. God said, look, Adam, I'm going to take care of the heaven. I'm going to make sure the stars work. And I'm going to make sure the galaxies run because it's kind of big. But I'm going to put you on the earth and you're going to be the God of the earth. And I'm not going to question what you say. Because remember, Adam named all the animals. And I like what Brother Luis said because it makes the point strike more than the way I used to bring it out. Yeah, we learn from each other. Adam said, that's an elephant. And God said, that's exactly what I was going to say. That's what I was thinking all along. Adam said, that's a zebra. Funny looking horse, but it's a zebra. God said, that's exactly what I was going to call that. What? The two minds work together. That's authority. When Adam said something, God didn't have to go into crisis mode to clean up the mess. Because remember, even at the fall, Adam knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew he was going to sell the human race out when he did what he did. But he couldn't kill her because she was part of him. That was the agape love I'm talking about. Filial love would have said, God, throw that slut away and get me another one. Oh, you quiet. You let your spouse go lay down with a beast. Would you invite her right back in? Come on, people. That's why it was agape love. Adam looked past every bit of that. And he said, God, she's mine. She's me. And that's what Jesus Christ on the cross, he looked down and he said, they're me. God, forgive them of their sins. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time was not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. So what fell? Man fell first, right? Who fell underneath? All creation fell under the man. Because he was the highest form of creation. Everything fell underneath. For the creature was made subject to vanity not willingly. That's why after a while the lion wanted to eat Adam. He sold them all out. But by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. In other words, it's coming right back up through man again. Because the creature itself also, now what? Watch, if you got a Scofield Bible, that creature is translated to creation. The whole creation groaneth and waiteth. Well, we read it. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Now let's translate that. We must do that first. Because remember, we fell first and everything fell below us. Well, if we're going to restore it back, we've got to come back to where it fell. Then everything's going to come up to it. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Until now. Until now, you and I, there's the second stage. We must come back to where we have authority first over one nature. Yours. Yours. You got to have control over your nature before you can control that nature out here. Amen? And that's what this is. This is a nature change. You're having your nature change. You're growing in God. And God's going to come up there one day and say, look, you've come to a place to where an act of restoration has happened. And you know what? I didn't want you to say much when you first got born again because you was a kid. Babbling babies. But when you come to the authority stage where your name is just as good on the checkbook as your father's, then what's going to stop what you say, him backing it up? See, we haven't come to that yet altogether. I said altogether. We haven't. There's a lot of things that we could say about that happened even here at the church with Brother Colley's gun being called back, several things, Brother Harris, several things has happened. But listen, God wants it to fire like fireworks. He wants everybody to come in to where He can say, I trust what you say. Right? Because what happened with Brother Branham, you see, in Brother Branham's life, we know he came to adoption. Amen? Because the word couldn't have been unfolded any further had he not been adopted. Because up here is where you got the Son of Man ministry, which is the seals and all the full opening of the word. Everybody understand that? Amen? Amen? Amen. Alright, so that's where he came to the full adoption where God said, hear ye him. You're going to hear it. You're going to get it from him. Well, now, you know what? That's the same thing that's got to happen to you and I. Because remember, thus saith the Lord is good. But the Bible says, you say to this mountain. Thus saith the Lord is saying what the Lord said. Oh, you're going too far. No, we ain't got far enough. That's right. This body's going to be changed by what you speak.
That's right.
Your body changed, you're going to speak. Brother Dale cannot speak your body change.
That's right.
You're going to have to speak your own body change.
Amen.
So guess what? If he's got authority, that's fine. But I'm going to have authority.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I hope that's
true. I do too. Because there ain't a cloud in the sky. Where was I? For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. Now, with Brother Branham, you could tell several things happened in his life. If you remember one time when, remember, he came up there, and he came up to that storm, or he went up on top of the mountain, and he what? He didn't say, thus saith the Lord, storm, go out of existence. Did he? The Lord Jesus told him, said, you speak it. And he did. He said, storm. He even told the storm what to do. He said, storm, leave, and said, it's going to be, you know, we're going to have sunshine for 4 days. And he just kept telling nature what to do. All right, so that's where you and I, but remember, God didn't sit up there going, no, don't say it. No, don't say that. No, he was pleased.
Right.
with what that man said. He came and backed up what he said because he had come to a position that you and I must come to. Because remember, after that happened, he comes down off the mountain. If you remember, God said, come and walk with me. So he was walking. Adam? Isn't that what he said? Isn't that what he said? I didn't bring a quote, but I'm going to get close. He said, come walk with me. Now, what was that? And then what did they come across? They come across the two deer. They come across two deer. Now, most of us are deer hunters, and we can't get that close to deer, especially, he said, after they've been shot at so many times. But he said those deer were so close he could touch them with his rifle barrel. That would probably be closer than me and Brother Al. Okay? And said they looked at him, and there was no fear. If you could just think about what those animals were thinking. Because nature feels God sometimes before we do. But those two deer, I'll guarantee you, if you could get inside their brain, they were looking at that man. They said, Adam, is that you? Adam, are you back in power? Because we're groaning. We're groaning and travailing in pain together until now, waiting on me and you to come to a place. Brother Brown said that bull had such a bewildered look on his face. Why? Because that bull's nature was to kill the human. But that bull was, he felt an anointing he'd never felt before.
Right.
What about you and I? He said, oh, that was for a prophet. I disagree with him. Because he's gone on, and now we got to get him out of the grave. By what he said. Nothing else but by what he said. I believe that with all my heart.
I believe that's
right.
But he gave us provision before he left. And it's lying, he said, in the books and tapes, not on them. That's a problem. Sometimes we read on the books. We don't read in the book. Amen? And not only they, not finished yet. This is authority. We got to come back to authority. And not only they, who? Nature. But ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. They got to feel the pull from us. Waiting for the adoption to wit. Now that word to wit means to understand the redemption of our body. Now, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. If your kids are already sitting here, saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, why are you hoping they're coming? They're here. So that's the same thing with this. We hope for these, but what about when we don't have to hope, when we see it? For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Second stage of adoption is authority. Third stage is to understand the redemption of the body.
Hallelujah.
Amen? You say, no, that's the body change. No, Brother Brown didn't go through a body change and he was adopted.
Right.
But we got to understand that this is the age for adoption. This is the age for the body change. And if we don't take a body change, we're going to take a body change, that's for sure. It's going to go to the undertaker and they're going to take your blood out and all that other stuff. Yeah, you're going to be a change, all right. But there's got to be somebody, church,
amen,
that's got to come through this. Every one of these stages, birth, authority, understand the redemption of the body. What's the last enemy to be destroyed? Death. That's the whole thing that we look for, is that death. Death is the big thing that we don't know anything about. But Brother Branham came, went across the curtain of time, come back across, and he said, why should you fear death? Why should you fear death when death is the vehicle that takes you right into the presence of God? But listen, death must be destroyed in us.
Amen.
Death must be destroyed. So we got to understand the redemption of our body. We got to understand that death, sure, is a vehicle to take some to the grave and take them right on into Christ. But there's going to be a group of people that's going to have to stand on this earth. And going to have to say, death, where's your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Now, let me finish with this. Now, I may have told you before, but I'm going to tell you again, because you probably already forgot it. If death is our big... death is that... It's that big oops. You know, you don't know what it is. But let's look at it like this. And I've told it many times to others before, and I think it kind of sticks home, because we always do the... we always talk about David and Goliath. You know, you've heard since you was a little boy about David and Goliath. David being the... picking up five stones and him throwing it at the giant, and the giant is this and the giant's that. Things you got to overcome. Well, let's back on up just a little bit. Because we've been talking about a special anointing, right? Everybody wake up just for a minute and listen. We've been talking about a special anointing, right? All right? So what did Samuel... Now, Samuel was the prophet of the hour. Let's go back in the Old Testament. Samuel was the prophet of the hour. He was the one that God talked to and talked through, right? All right? He was the prophet of the day. Now, Samuel, God tells Samuel, says, Samuel, you need to go find Israel a king. Samuel gets the anointing oil, and by leading of the Holy Spirit, he comes up to Jesse's house. He knocks on the door. And Jesse says, come in. And Samuel says, I'm here for one purpose. Remember, he didn't talk to him much. He said, where are your sons? Right. Stood them out there all in front of him. Samuel looked at the first church age. Second church age? No. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, all the way down. Samuel said, there's a problem here somewhere. Because I've been sent here to anoint a king. And this all your sons? Oh, I got one more. He's a shepherd. He's out in the field. He's in other words, he had a job. I hadn't thought of that till now. He had a job. The other ones didn't. But you remember, the other ones didn't have a job. They weren't called to adoption. They weren't called to a body change. So Samuel takes the oil and he says, something's wrong. There's got to be another one. He says, oh, I got one more. Remember, because he was in the household. It had to be the household of Jesse. Had to be an heir. I'm going somewhere with this. Just pay attention. So David comes up and Samuel says, that's the man. The anointing was the same. So he takes the oil and he pours it on David. Anoints him to be king of Israel. Several years later, 50-something years later, David goes and visits his brothers. He was a young boy when he was anointed. He had to grow up. But remember, Samuel anointed him to be king. He had to grow up. So he goes to the battleground and he talks to his brothers. And he hears in the background a voice. He said, why are all you scared of this guy named Death? Because if you fought with that guy, that Philistine, you're going to die. Without some kind of special anointing, you're going to die. He was like 14 feet tall, and I mean, he was just way bigger than anybody that we know around here today, right? So you were going to die. But David had no problem with that. He said, why are you letting this uncircumcised Philistine defy the army of God, or the children of God? Children of God. But the whole point of this is, David didn't just have faith in David.
Right.
50 years ago, there was a prophet come on the land, and he had anointing oil, and he anointed me to be a king. And you think I'm going to let that get in my way? He believed what his prophet said. And he said, and David said, you know what? Until I sit on the throne, I'm invincible. I'm not going to die. Till I sit on that throne. If I believe what my prophet said. If I believe that that special anointing was poured on me in my age. Revelation 5 says you're going to be what? Kings and priests. If you ever see that, people, death will not harm you. David wasn't only, it wasn't all just him. He believed what that man said. He believed what them 1150 sermons said. He believed he was the prophet. He believed what he said, and he said, hey, I'm invincible. So death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? We have all things through Christ who strengthens me. Be a David. Be a David. Fight your way through. Now look, David didn't just walk up there and Goliath look at him and go. No, Goliath stood there until he, about that far from that thing hitting him in the face. Right? Until he got that real warm feeling between his eyes. He still thought he could defeat David. He said, I'll just take my spear and I'll feed you to the, what? Feed you to the birds. But about that far, when he saw that rock about right here, he knew he had a problem. But remember, David prophesied. He said, today, I'll take your head off. And he did it with whose sword? He did it with his enemy's sword. He picked that big thing up and he whacked that thing's head off. And guess what? He became a king. Because he believed what his prophet said. Let's stand. One more quote. This is the last one. I'll leave you with this one. Brother Branham said in the Statue of a Perfect Man, 1962, and I want you to take it and study it and compare it and then act upon it. Don't just study it, compare it, but act upon it when you do. Take it sincerely to yourself. Don't say, well, I enjoyed listening at it. I did too. But to listen at it and then receiving it is different. See, it's different. That's my commission to you. Do not just listen and say, I enjoyed that. I want us to act on it. I want us all to come to a place that we come to right there. And then God can say, whatever you say, I'll back it up. Because you know what? When we take a body change, we can sit there and say it all day, Brother Dick. My body's changed. But one day, when you say, my body's changed, God's going to say, that's exactly what I was thinking. You got to bring it together. Because remember, somewhere, He's eternal. He's already said it. He knows who's going to come to it. But we don't. So like I said, I'm just dumb enough to believe it's me. Right? Don't call me dumb. I'm just dumb enough to believe. Thank God for these people that can play. And look at these people here, these brothers that can sing. But listen, God's got a bride. He's got a David that'll believe what that prophet said. Know that special anointing is on him. Now, it doesn't make you a special person. It's a special anointing on the person. If you think you're a special person, you'll never get the special anointing. But if you get the special anointing, God's going to do what? He's going to manifest through you what He's always wanted. Because the whole world is waiting on the manifestation of sons and daughters. Of God. Let's sing a song. Thank you for listening to this Statue of a Perfect Man. I really enjoyed it. You could expound on it more, but you know what? May the Holy Spirit fill in all the gaps. May the God of glory fill in all the gaps that I left, and excuse me if I left anything out, but I brought it to you the best I know how. And I hope we all come to that place. Let's sing. Yes, sir. You thank God. You thank God.
Sing thank Heavenly you. Father.
Sing Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. If you have a need.
Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Lead me, guide me, you're dwelling inside me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Spirit, you're a comfort to me. You lead me, guide me.
We ask you now that you give her what she needs, Father. Just bless her, Lord. Even bless her in her schoolwork and all the things that she does. But may she be, Lord, an example for you, Father. Touch her from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. In Jesus' name we pray.
Father,
amen.
Amen. I appreciate you.
You love him. Let's raise our hands. Oh, Heavenly
Father, I appreciate you.
What she's asked, that she will have, it'll come from her heart, but it'll be manifested out through her body. Lord, we ask, just touch her, Lord, spiritually and physically. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Believe the Lord.
Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. You lead me.
We know that Brother Dale's going to have surgery, or not surgery, but he's going to have some procedures done to his heart. So Brother Al is, I'm agreeing with him. Let's just all gather around the pulpit around here. Everybody come here. Everybody. Sisters, brothers, children. I don't care. Whoever you are, just come on over here. Everybody, all the way from the back to the front. Listen, whether it's my natural daddy or not, he's my spiritual father in the gospel. He's all of our spiritual father in the gospel. And I'll absolutely remind you of one thing, that the toil that it takes on a man's heart and body, because remember, we all still live. Come on up here. Come on. Get up here as far as you can. Come on. Up here's where the fire falls. But he's give his life for all of us. He would give his physical life for all of us.
That's true.
And remember, we're still under the curse. Our body, God can take care of every bit of us, but until we come to a place of the body change I'm talking about, we're going to get older. We're going to have aches and pains. Our heart's going to run out. All these things are going to happen to us. So we still live under the curse. But we know a God that's made all this body, and he can change things. But if you'll remember Jesus, he looked 50 years old and he was 30. You look at Brother Branham. I'm 55. Brother Branham was 56 when he got killed. He looked about 70 because of what? The toil and stress on his body because of what he gave. He literally gave his life so that we can have this message. And Brother Dale has almost literally give his life so he can bring the message to us. Pure and adulterated. The other, I don't know anybody else that has. They surely are, but I don't know anybody else. So we're going to bind right now together as a church family.
Yes, sir.
And he got a prayer cloth this morning, but we're going to say a special prayer that God will just touch him. Like you said, let the people do what they want to do, but hey, it's just lying vanity. But we're going to pray that God will anoint him on Tuesday when he goes and that all things will be well. Listen, he has been ordained to lead us through. And until God's finished with him, he's going to. But you know what? God knew we'd do this. It's not a surprise that what Brother Al said. God knew we would bind together from before the foundation of the world. He knew we'd do this. Now the devil may be surprised, but that's okay. That's a good thing. That's right. Because I don't care if he gets surprised. Don't bother me any. But God didn't know that. I mean, God knew that. Yeah, Brother Sam prayed for every one of us. Even before some of you were born, he prayed for your parents. So let's pray for him. And pray, not just a simple prayer, pray an earnest prayer. Talk to God just like I said, just like he's your daddy. He is your daddy. Daddy. You know what? Let's drop down and be children. Let's drop down and be children, but let's be adults in our heart to ask God. So let's all bow our heads. Pray in your own way, and when you're finished, we'll be dismissed. All right? Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come asking for our pastor, Lord, that's give his almost 90% of his whole life for you, Father. He's given his whole self 100%, but his natural body, Lord, has come to a place to where it needs some help. And Father, we pray that you'll help him, Lord. And that we'll bind together, that the power of Satan will not take over in this situation. That in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, you have to back off. In the name of Jesus Christ, commit all things into your hands, Lord. Satan, you're defeated. Sometimes you just don't know it. But surprise, you're a defeated creature. Father, if there be any sin among us, forgive us, Lord, of our sins. And forgive us of our shortcomings, Lord, from you. That we can truly cry out to you, Father, and you back up what we say. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The things that we need, Lord, from you comes through that statue of a perfect man. And comes right through, Lord, the ministry to us, the laity, Father. We pray that you would now be with him on Tuesday. That you'll go with him. And that you'll put a special anointing on him, Father. That the doctors can't understand what's going on. You're a miracle-working God. We serve a big God. So we're asking for big things. That you'll heal our brother, Lord. Raise him up for your honor and glory. And bless him, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name as a family that have come together for one purpose, and that's to pray for our pastor. We ask you to bless him now. Take care of him. Be with mom also.
Yes.
Help her, Lord, for any fear or anything that she has or any anxiety, Lord. We pray that you'd take that away also.
Yes, Lord.
Because when you call him, you called her.
Yes, Lord.
And they're together as one, Father. Just be with them, Lord. Take care of them. Lead us all and guide us by the Holy Spirit, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
May we take this, what we've heard the past few Sundays and what Brother Dale's been preaching, and take it to heart.
Yes, Lord.
And it'll become us, Lord. That we'll become you, Father. You became us so that we might become you. Thank you for that, Lord. We ask your blessings on all these here. If there be any sick among us standing here, Lord, heal them, Father. Heal them in the body, Lord, and heal us in soul.
Yes, amen.
Save the ones that are lost, Lord.
Amen.
Take care of our children as they go out, Lord, into the world and go to school. And Lord, may you anoint them, Father. Keep the wiles of Satan away from them, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would just help us, Lord. Raise us up as a family, Lord, in you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Go with God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Everybody wait for a good report on Tuesday. Good report on Tuesday. Thank you for everything. You're dismissed. Go. Let's go ahead and sing. Just sing something else while they're... Well, we go with God. Listen, be careful. Tomorrow they're calling for bad weather, but we can pray for that also. That it'll not harm us in any way. Just bless each one, Lord.
There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to